4 more British and American soldiers killed today in Afghanistan. A shock general election called in Greece. Is the right-wing government there about to fall? And what's going on in the north of Yemen? 100,000 refugees on the march. Thousands of people being killed, wounded, or otherwise hunted from pillar to post as the government of Field Marshal Ali Abdullah Saleh, 28 years the dictator of Yemen, is remorselessly driving home a military offensive which is being hotly contested by the Shiite Muslims of the north of Yemen. Is this a proxy war between Saudi Arabia and Iran? That's what we'll be talking about in the second half of the show. This is The Big Conversation. This is The Great Debate. This is Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV each and every week at this time. You can join The Great Debate by telephone on 0044-208-601-4555. We'll even call you back, but make sure your television set is set to zero when you get through onto the screen, because otherwise no one will hear us. You can email me at comment@presstv.co.uk, or you can SMS me on 0044-78-00-00-8066. We take your emails and your SMSs up here on the comment wall. We want to see your country, your point of view up here. Remember, all views expressed by me here are my own views. They're not the views of Press TV, and they're certainly not the views of the government of Iran. And if you have a different point of view to me, then your call, your email, your SMS is especially welcome. Let's go to the comment wall for the first email of the evening. Let's see where this one's from. And it's Himaitullah Tahri in Australia. As I witnessed during the last 30 years, all the Muslim problems came from Wahhabis. We all see in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Sudan, Chechnya, Iraq, Kashmir, and now in Yemen. Wherever they go, they encourage the people to bomb, destroy, and kill. On the other hand, Iran encourages the countries by knowledge, wisdom, and peace, like they did in Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, and other Central Asian states. Well, that's one of the issues that we're going to be talking about tonight in relation to Yemen. Because although Field Marshal Ali Abdullah Saleh has for 28 years been the dictatorial leader of Yemen, there are many people who think that it is Saudi Arabia which is encouraging and funding this war against the Shiite population in the north and the east of the country, which would make it a proxy war. Very, very dangerous thing to do, a proxy war between Saudi Arabia and Iran fought out in Yemen. I think it's time that the Yemeni government dealt properly with the Zaydi Shia Muslims that they are remorselessly persecuting today and make a political arrangement with them. I don't want to see Yemen broken up and destroyed as a country, but I can't accept the jackboot of dictatorial armed force by Field Marshal Ali Abdullah Saleh. Let's go to the comment wall, take another email. This one is from Polly in England. I contacted the BBC when you were on the Gaza convoy and requested the story be covered. They responded saying if the editor felt it germane, it would be. But evidently they did not, despite its importance to the world. I intend to raise some funds for the Gaza appeal via the book you signed for me at your speech in Hampstead. This is my way of reaching out the hand of friendship to the suffering of those little children. Thank you, Polly. We have another Viva Palestina convoy going from England on the 6th of December. It will be a joint UK-US convoy in the beginning, but it will pick up support as it goes through Europe, through Greece, and through Turkey, Syria, Jordan, and Egypt. We expect that it will arrive, God willing, on the 27th of December, the anniversary of the war which was launched by Israel and which the whole world saw the people of Palestine being mercilessly and brutally killed and wounded and orphaned and their homes destroyed. That's my point of view. If you've got a different one, we definitely want to hear from you. Let's take another email on the comment wall. This one is from Fadel in Belgium. I've heard that Obama administration may take the settlements in East Jerusalem away from the negotiations. I wonder why the Western leaders are willing to negotiate things which are clearly illegal under international law. Are they not committed to the rule of law? Are they not committed to their principles of so-called human rights? Well, Fadl, their principles are easily adapted when Israel is concerned. It is an extraordinary thing that Israel is able to break laws and trample over international norms in a way that no other country in the world would ever be permitted to do. Iraq was broken on the wheel of sanctions for weapons it didn't have, whilst Israel has hundreds of nuclear weapons which it refuses to declare, for example. Let's take our first call of the evening. Yes, caller, hello, where are you calling from? Hello.
Yes, my name is Ali. I'm from Afghanistan, and I would like to share my concern with Press TV, and particularly with George Galloway.
Welcome, Ali.
Yeah, I was during election in Afghanistan, unfortunately, and most unfortunately, the media did not portray the real face of election in Afghanistan, and I hope you will explain and illustrate very graphically to the audience that what is precisely going on in Afghanistan. You see, during the election, a huge amount of fraud, irregularities, and corruption, and also happened, and particularly in south of Afghanistan, and Helmand, Kandahar, Paktia, Khost, Jalalabad, and Wardak. And these ballots and boxes are full by the police, security staff, and the member of the government. And this made every individual in Afghanistan disappointed and frustrated how the government, 8 years, and after 8 years, the government did not bring a tangible result. And the government, unfortunately, and did a massive fraud and irregularities, and now every individual in Afghanistan disappointed, and really it's a very, very sad situation that we are surrounded by.
Okay, Ali, thank you very much indeed for that call. Imagine how we feel about it here as United Kingdom taxpayers, the blood and the treasure of our country and the countries of others in the security force were spilled for a farcical election. As far as I'm concerned, the puppet President Karzai and his main challenger, Dr. Abdullah, are Tweedledee and Tweedledum. Neither of the two of them are genuine presidential material, so far as I am concerned. Both of them are creatures of the foreign occupation of their country. But Tweedledee has definitely stolen the election from Tweedledum. There's no doubt at all about that. Even Richard Holbrooke, who admittedly is a hot-headed man, he once stormed off the platform when I was giving a speech about Iraq in Almaty in Kazakhstan. And Richard Pearl stormed off the platform in solidarity with him, a Democrat and a Republican, but united in one thing. They were not going to have the Kazakh people listen to the truth about Iraq from me. But the situation in Afghanistan is now slipping from farce into tragedy, because either Karzai continues as the president, deeply and utterly discredited by the electoral performance, or there's a second round which will be accompanied by the same kind of mass abstention, violence, and discreditability that the first round was. Either way, it's time we tried a different tack in Afghanistan. And you know what my tack would be. I'll tell you what, let's take another telephone call. Hello, caller. Yes, where are you calling from?
Hello, good evening.
Yes, good evening, sir. Where are you?
I'm from Nigeria.
Yes, go ahead.
Hello, I'm from Nigeria.
Go ahead, sir, please.
Good evening. I'm from Nigeria, Edo State.
Yes, welcome. Go ahead, please.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you. God bless you for the good work you are doing.
Thank you, sir.
You speak the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
I'm afraid that line is just too difficult for us. Do try and get back to that caller, please, because he sounded like he might have something interesting to say. While we wait for getting back to him, let's go back to the comment wall and take another email. And this one is from Martin Omo in Leeds in England. I'd like you to refer to history, which states the Palestinians own their purported occupied land, as you and the Arabs have been claiming. Because my Bible tells me clearly that the whole land belonged to Israel long before 1948. George, try and get your information correct. You said a few weeks ago that the Western enemy wanted to overthrow the legitimate government of Iran. In today's news, the Supreme Leader stated categorically that it was not the Westerners, but the Iranians themselves. I'm afraid that's a slight distortion of what the Supreme Leader of Iran has said, but he's not saying essentially any different to me. I said on this very program, not once but several times, that I did not believe that the people who were on the streets demonstrating about the election in Iran were anything other than genuine Iranians. Misguided, I believed, and I'm glad to say that these demonstrations have now petered out, but nonetheless, genuine Iranians. The fact that there are Western countries that would like, not just Western countries, by the way, Saudi Arabia is another country with a very real interest in sowing dissension and problems inside Iran. The fact that they exist, the fact that Britain overthrew the elected government of Mossadegh in Iran all these decades ago is proof positive that there are Western countries who would like to see political subversion going on in Iran. Let's go back to the telephone lines. Yes, hello, caller. Hello, where are you calling from?
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Salam alaikum, Mr. Galloway.
Hello, sir. Yes, go ahead. Where are you from?
I'm Turkish. I'm calling from Scotland. I would like to pass comment about regarding you mentioned earlier on about relation to Saudi Arabia and Iran.
Oh, yes, go ahead.
And actually, I'm an open talker person. I would like to say a couple of words straight and direct, right to the point. I'm a Muslim. I'm a Sunni Muslim. But I believe one thing. Whole Muslim world, whole humanity, we are all human. We have to love each other, respect each other regarding what's the difficulties. That's the most important thing. When it comes to between Saudi Arabia and Iran, as I mentioned, I'm a Muslim. I love them, Iran. I love them, all the Muslim people. Again, based on being a human, loving each other, caring each other, being united. Is Arabia point of view, Saudi Arabia point of view, I think they have to be stop supporting the Wahhabism and trying to cause conflict between the Muslim countries and between in the country about discriminated the Muslim people as like Shiism or these kind of things. Because I think it is important for Saudi Arabia to whoever run in the country last 85 years or can't remember exactly the time, I'm sure you know better than me. So they need to be a proper country and run their country, give the right to their own people and play in a good global role in the region, in the world, in a proper manner. When comes to Iran, and respect the country, being a Sunni Muslim, and I know they have a knowledgeable people, they have the wisdom, they have the skill, they have the leadership, I think they need to use all this, being part of the Muslim world, and working all the Muslim world together, being a united, being a all together, standing up for their right. I think that's the most important key in the region, in the people, come together, be united, stand on ground, and whoever trying to split the region, whoever trying to split the whole world, whole humanity, that will be get stopped properly.
Well, I think that's a very, very important call, and so far as I grasped all of it, I agreed with all of it. And the most important part was the bit at the end, this question about splits and divisions. You see, my opposition to the government in Saudi Arabia in this regard is not because they are Wahhabis, not because they are Sunnis, but because they are being used as a tool by Western interests to drive a wedge between Sunni and Shiite Muslims in the world. As if the Arabs weren't divided enough into their 23 mini-states by Sykes and Picot, the Western statesmen. Now Saudi Arabia is using its power and prestige in the Muslim world to drive a wedge between Sunnis and Shiites. This can only serve those who are against the interests of Muslims. It can only serve those who are against the interests of Saudi Arabia itself, by the way. There are people who would like to break up Saudi Arabia, who never accepted its creation in the first place. The British, as you'll recall, were not on the side of the Al Saud family. They were with the Hashemites, and they wouldn't mind in their hearts seeing Saudi Arabia broken up again. So I call on the Saudi leadership and all those who have influence with them to stop this use of the country and its prestige in such a divisive way. The attempts, for example, to turn Sunni Muslims in the Arab world and elsewhere against Said Hassan Nasrallah in Lebanon are deeply divisive. They have almost completely failed, and they are entirely at the service of those who wish ill for the Muslim world, those who wish to keep it divided and weak, the better to steal its things. Let's go to the cartoons on the comment wall. The inimitable Steve Bell. This is a reference to sweets. There's a brand of sweets in our country called humbugs, Lockerbie humbugs. There's the faces of Obama and I presume Gordon Brown. They're in a humbug jar. This a reference to the hypocrisy, because humbug also means hypocrite. The hypocrisy of Labour in particular, which was wishing for the release of Al-Megrahi in London, but ruthlessly attacking the SNP government in Scotland for having released him. Talk about double standards, talk about two-faced. That's in The Guardian from the great Steve Bell. This is Carlos Latouf in Brazil, and this is Netanyahu on the back of a dove carrying the new Israeli peace plan, Mother Palestine pointing out the shadow that lies beneath the dove of peace is in fact an F-16 fighter bomber, the kind of airplane that brought such death and destruction to Gaza in the war that I was just talking about a few moments ago. That's from deviantart.com. And this from Steve Bell again. This is a bull being speared, and Afghanistan is the subject. Protecting the Afghan people against the Taliban must be the top priority. This is a bull in the shape of a bomber, and the bombs are littering down. This a reference, I think, to a very celebrated bullfighting story in the press in the week. So, here's another from Carlos Latouf. Here's, I'm not sure who that's meant to be. Is it Ehud Barak? Mother Palestine, two states living side by side in peace and security. State of Israel, a mega state, powerfully armed. The Palestinian state, a little car of not much use to anyone. And Mother Palestine looking on disconsolately. I'm not sure who this figure is, Carlos. You have to be more clear. But I think it's Ehud Barak, the defense minister. Let's take another telephone call. They're coming in thick and fast. Yes, caller, hello, where are you calling from?
Oh, hello, good evening. I'm speaking from London, Mr. Galloway.
You're welcome, sir.
In your introduction, you said there are more British lives and American lives have been, you know...
Four more today, yes.
Yes, and, you know, and what is the goal? I mean, the British lives have been sacrificed for what so-called promoting democracy. What kind of democracy is that? I still do not agree with you. Academically, yes, everybody should be allowed to choose their governments, but... Is it on that the British lives are being sacrificed, the fingers are being chopped off, the votes are being sold, as you said yourself, that, you know, democracy is a farce there. And what are British services are, they, you know, getting sacrificed for nothing, really? End of the day, what will happen?
Well, I'm always grateful to hear from you. We'll never stop disagreeing on your central belief on that about democracy, but on this we can agree. I don't believe the government of Hamid Karzai is worth the bones of a single British grenadier, or American, or Canadian, or Afghan, for that matter. I don't believe that this puppet regime, which was installed by force by invading foreign armies, is worth the blood of a single soldier, and not worth another pound, a dollar, or cent of taxpayers' money from any of these countries. What we need is a peace conference. We can have it here in London. Let's give ourselves a role. We need to bring the governments from all the surrounding countries. We need to bring the real leaders of the real political forces in the country. Not making people sign oaths that they renounce this or renounce that. That kind of nonsense ought to have died the death with the Northern Ireland peace process, where at least the British government then had the sense to talk to the people who represent the people with whom you're fighting. There's no other way to get out of a war. Thanks for your call again. Let's go back to the comment wall, take another email. And this one is from John Hopps in London. If Britain had not won World War II, would there have been a 9/11? Would there have been a war on Iraq? Would 1,400 Palestinians have been killed in January 2009? Well, if Britain and her allies, principally the United States and the USSR, but many other allies also, had not won the war, then I would be speaking to you tonight in German. In fact, I wouldn't be speaking to you at all, because there would be no such free media as this, because fascism, Nazism, which caused the deaths of perhaps 50 million people in the Second World War, would have ruthlessly driven out any kind of freedom, any kind of democracy, any kind of liberty in the world. They would have ethnically cleansed the world of all the Jews, and they would quickly have followed it up, let me make this absolutely clear, with ethnically cleansing the world of all of the Muslims, and all of the Jehovah Witnesses, and all of those who in any way posed a threat to their hegemony. So don't even dream of speculating about what would happen if we hadn't won the war, because you and I probably wouldn't exist. Let's go back to the telephone lines, take another call. Yes, caller? Hello, where are you calling from?
Calling from Kansas, United States. Mr. Galloway,
welcome.
This is honor to talk to you, and I want to just say God bless you and the great job that you're doing. And also, on the issue of Iran, you are absolutely correct that the interference from outside, and that's correct that there were some people that are, you know, not happy with some of the things that's going on, but which country has 100%. But the agitation from outside was cause of that. But alhamdulillah, the leadership was smart enough, and enough of the people that were for the system that this insult didn't work, and all of those that their faces now it's black, you know them, and they all, even people that voted for them, they see that. But again, number one is you're doing the great job, and this is an honor to talk to you, and it's an honor to see a man is doing that and bringing the news from different part of the world that is so critical with the media that we have over here, 24 hours bombarded with just news that is not correct. But anyway.
Well, thank you. Thank you, sir. I spoke in Kansas quite recently. I don't know if you were amongst the audience, which was a very big audience. I very much enjoyed my time there. That's what Press TV is trying to do. It's trying to be a voice for the voiceless. You may not agree with everything that we say. You may not agree with every interpretation that we make on international affairs, on the great events that are unfolding every day. But I promise you, we are trying to speak for those for whom no one else is speaking. These great media conglomerates that in Kansas as well as in London are force-fed down the throats of the majority of the people, their days are numbered. People are turning over to stations like Press TV and searching through the internet, searching all the different sources that they can to find the truth. The people are always searching for the truth, and in the end, the truth will out. In the second half of the show, we'll be concentrating on the war that's taking place in the north of Yemen, a proxy war maybe, between Saudi Arabia and Iran. Don't go away. You won't want to miss it. I'll be back right after the news with the second half of Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV.
Yemen. Shia Muslim activists in Saada are fighting with the Yemeni government for their rights. These activists, known as the Houthis, say they are being persecuted by the Yemeni government because of their religious beliefs and their opposition to the US. The Yemeni government has been fighting the activists for the past 5 years. Around 3,000 people have been killed. The Yemeni government have rejected an offer of a truce. And last week, Yemen's president, Ali Abdullah Saleh, said he will crush the movement by the activists. But what really is the problem? Well, you'll find Yemen under Saudi Arabia, a country well known for its active exports of Wahhabism. This is a sect of Islam widely criticized for its intolerance to mainstream Muslims, including Shias and Sunnis. The Saudi kingdom finances the opening of Wahhabi schools across the country and has expelled Yemenis into the conflict zones. The United Nations has declared a humanitarian crisis. So, what needs to be done? Phone in and tell us.
Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV. We're going to start with a telephone call on the subject of the war in the Yemen. Yes, caller, hello, where are you calling from?
Yeah, hi, George, I'm calling from London.
Welcome, sir.
I just wanted to, as you just explained more in the news than I was going to ask about this war in Yemen, and the other things in the whole scenario of this Middle East and the wars going on. Since I'm from Pakistan, what happened in Iran in this election, foreign-sponsored riots and all that, and then what's happening in Afghanistan and in my country, Pakistan, just one thing needs to be clarified. The people who are fighting against the Pakistani government in Pakistan have nothing to do with the Taliban in Afghanistan. The Pakistani Taliban are foreign-sponsored. We have captured weapons from them, which were U.S.-made, Indian-made, okay? And communication equipment is so highly sophisticated that our Pakistani army cannot even trace them. You know, cannot even, what you call them, tap them, record them, or find them. The second thing, I give congrats to Ahmadinejad for winning it against the all odds for the foreign powers, which tried to not to make sure that it's another, what we, I quote, call in Pakistan, the colored revolution, which was supposed to be green in Iran. And the second thing, I just want to say one thing. Just one thing. Matthew, somebody who called you a couple of weeks ago, I watched a program from London, who said he was a Zionist, and people were talking about Israel and all that. I hope he's listening tonight. Anti-Zionism is not anti-Semitism.
No, absolutely, and there's no way that either I or Press TV, for that matter, would in any sense give any kind of room to people spreading anti-Semitic ideas, because anti-Semitism is, first of all, the Arabs themselves are Semites, so it would be a very peculiar standpoint, but much more importantly, anti-Semitism is just racism, and we hate racism, whether it's directed against Jews or against Muslims, against people from any part of the world. Whilst I accept the point that you make, that there are foreign interests who have a side in any international conflict, whether it's an election or a war, it's a mistake to ascribe every nuance of every domestic opposition to foreign hands. That's what Ayatollah Khamenei, the supreme leader in Iran, I think was referring to when he made the comment that he did. There is no point in pretending that what happened in Iran would not have happened if it had not been for the BBC Persian service. For example, the BBC Persian service definitely did everything it could to whip up anti-government feeling amongst those very few, actually, Iranians who were watching and listening to it. But it would have happened anyway. We have to deal with domestic opposition to policies, to a trend, to a line, in a sophisticated and in a democratic way. And I hope that that's what's happening in Iran today. I believe that it is. In Yemen, of course, the conflict is very different. Here we have Field Marshal Saleh, and I didn't fancy Field Marshal Idi Amin. I don't fancy Field Marshal Ali Abdullah Saleh much either. The Field Marshal is trying to use brute force to solve a real domestic political problem. We don't want to see the Yemenis killing and slaughtering each other as has happened in the past. Let's turn the rifles away from each other and turn them, if necessary, towards the Gulf, where there are hundreds of thousands of foreign soldiers who are trying to cause many, many problems in that region. Let the guns fall silent in Yemen and let the talking begin. That's my point of view. Let's take another telephone call. Yes, hello. Caller, where are you calling from?
Hello, salam alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Hello, Mr. George. My name is Habib. I'm calling from Southampton.
Welcome.
Well, my comment is about war in Yemen. Actually, I would like to say war in Yemen is very dangerous war for all the regions in Middle East. As you said, and we know that Saudi Arabia is funding Yemen, I strongly believe that is a Zionism plan to make a Muslim weaker from inside. I believe Zionism is only not the Jewish people. It's an organization which includes Saudi Arab government as well. If Saudi Arabia is funding for a Muslim or Sunni, why not funding Hamas? Because Hamas is against Zionism. As you know, my friend said as well from Australia that you read his email. He said all the problems come in the Middle East, all over the Muslim countries is from Wahhabi. I strongly agree with him. I believe Wahhabi is not a Muslim, is not Shia or Sunni. They are a group, a puppet group, which is get funding always from Zionism.
Well, I don't know if Wahhabism is funded by Zionism. I don't expect it would need any funding other than the funding of the dictatorship that rules Saudi Arabia and which has a long and historic alliance between the House of Al Saud and the House of Al Wahhab. This trend, and it's just a trend, of very extreme and austere Islamic current within the Sunni tradition. And I don't want to dump all the problems of the world on the Wahhabis, still less on Saudi Arabia. Neither do I want to say that all the problems of the Arab world are the fault of Zionism. Frankly, the Zionists would be the least of the worries of the Arabs if the Arabs could unite themselves. As Chairman Mao Zedong said to the late President Arafat, the Arabs are not serious about taking Palestine back, because if they were, all 200 as it was then, all 200 million of them could walk in and take it back, and there aren't enough bullets in the Israeli armory to stop them. So it's a more complicated picture than the one that you describe. But I have a strong feeling that Yemen is being used by Saudi Arabia, which is in turn being used by others to try and divide the Muslims between Sunni and Shia and to try and weaken Iran as the ultimate target of their offensive. Let's take another telephone call. Yes, caller, where are you calling from?
Hi, good evening, Mr. Galloway. My name's Leila and I'm calling from Scotland.
Welcome, Leila. Nice to hear a Scottish voice. Go ahead.
First point I'd like to raise is with yourself, and thank you for supporting the Muslim world and all of the issues and conflict that's gone all over the world. I'm very pleased to hear that we have views of a British man like yourself representing these issues.
Thank you.
That's the first thing I'd like to say. And secondly, I would like to say that I think it's very important that there is accurate media reported in this world to give the knowledge and information and understanding to people what's actually going on out there in the world, because I really feel that the media in this country do not report accurate information and open-ended information to people where they can make their own views and judgments. And lastly, I'd just like to say, sadly, I wish we had more people within the politicians around that support our country that could have the views of someone like yourself.
Well, thank you, Leila, but you could be a politician. You speak very well, very clearly. and there's an absolute need for more people of our point of view to get involved. So don't imagine that politicians are some breed apart, a different nation, separate from you. You can yourselves, all of you who are watching, be a politician. And thank you for the kind words about the show. And can I just ask every person watching this tonight to get one other person to watch me next week on Comment, and then we'll double our audience. Think about it. Just one other person. Promise me you'll get one other person to watch the show next week, and we'll be talking to double the crowd. Let's take an email up here on the comment wall and see where this one is from. It's from Ethiopia. NASA. How long do we have to put up with these Saudi abuses? Why won't Obama say anything about the Saudis? Why does he never condemn the Saudi kingdom but completely denounce other nations? Well, Nasser, it's hypocrisy. That's the long and the short of it. It's double standards. Iran had its 10th presidential election. Okay, it was disputed by the people who lost it, but at least they had an election, and the 10th one. In Saudi Arabia, there has never been an election of any kind for anything. You couldn't even elect the secretary of your fishing club, lest the very idea of elections take root. So, Saudi Arabia is a brutal dictatorship where one family with 30,000 princes steal the money of their country and use the wealth and the prestige of their country to cause problems for others, like they did in Afghanistan in the 1980s, and like they appear to be doing in Yemen today. Let's take another telephone call. Yes, caller, where are you calling from? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello, sir. Where are you?
From Nigeria.
Very welcome. Nice to have you back on the line. Go on.
Sorry, I want to find out. I have been very, very happy with the way you have been inciting in what you are doing on Press TV.
Thank you.
I want to congratulate you for that.
Thank you, sir.
But most importantly, I want to find out the role which the Iranian government is playing, or what they are doing at the moment, to kind of quell the crisis in Yemen. Because you have just told us here that the Saudi Arabian government is trying to fuel the crisis in Yemen so as to be able to destabilize the government in Iran. So what is the government in Iran doing to curb the excesses of Iran, because I don't, of Saudi Arabia?
Well, it's a very good question, and I'm not the man to answer it. As I said here earlier, I don't even speak for Press TV, let alone for the Iranian government. But I have no doubt that the government of Iran is gravely concerned about this huge, violent wave of suppression which has been unleashed by Field Marshal Ali Abdullah Saleh, the 28-year dictator of Yemen. And I think that they would be right to be concerned, because this has all sorts of potential for further destabilization, increase in tension in the region. The rebels, let's call them rebels, are VTLR, called them activists, that's a bit euphemistic, let's call them rebels, are only trying to defend their community. The community is being suppressed because partly of its religious confessional orientation. It's Shiite, but not exclusively Shiite, by the way. The Houthis are not exclusively Shiite. The main reason is that they, these rebels, oppose the use of Yemen, this great Arabia Felix, this historic country, as part of a Saudi American plan in the region to destabilize Iran. Now, I think that they're right to stand up against that. They're right to stand up against the government in Sana'a being used as part of the so-called war on terror, being used as a knife against the people of Iran and the government of Iran. But the rebels are ready for a truce. The rebels have offered a truce, and Field Marshal Saleh refuses the truce, and he says he's going to crush these rebels. And yet tonight we have pictures of hundreds of Yemeni soldiers, prisoners of war, being treated respectfully by all accounts, but prisoners of war of the rebels. So I don't think that Field Marshal Saleh is going to win the war. He'd be better to sit down and talk. Let's take another call. Yes, caller, where are you calling from?
Oh, hello, sir. Mr. Galloway?
Yes, sir, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from West London. It's an absolute honor talking to you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
I would just like to comment on that Yemen war, and I would like to say that we have in the Islamic world, we have a cancer, and that cancer is Saudi Arabia, because Saudi Arabia is meddling in every conflict around the Islamic world, especially when it comes to Shia. And that's all I would like to say. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for the call, and thank you for the kind remarks. It wouldn't be fair to blame everything on Saudi Arabia. We have no quarrel with the great people of what's called Saudi Arabia. No quarrel at all. The vast majority of people from that country are absolutely sincere and decent people. My quarrel is with the corrupt dictatorship of the 30,000 princes of the House of Al Saud, whose main victims, whose first victims, are the people of Saudi Arabia themselves. Because it's from them that the Saudi dictatorship has looted untold hundreds of billions of dollars, and every day continues to loot the people of Saudi Arabia. Their living standards have been slashed. Their public services have been destroyed, whilst their looters spend the country's money on weapons and on stocks and shares and bank accounts and foreign palaces and in the kleptomaniac behavior of their rulers. So let's make a distinction between the great people of Saudi Arabia, many of whom are watching this, and those who rule them. Let's take another call. Yes, caller, where are you calling from? Hello.
Hello, my name's Fatima. I'm calling West London.
Welcome, Fatima. Go ahead.
Yeah, I hear about the Wahhabi tonight. It's really surprised me. Wahhabi means believing one God. It's all Sunni believe Wahhabi. I don't know what they're talking about. They should know meaning Wahhabi and when it started Wahhabi. In long time, in Saudi Arabia, people were sitting near the grave, and then Sheikh Abdul Wahhab stand and say, worship one God. That's what it is, Wahhabi. I don't know what they're talking to people. Who calling?
Well, Abdul Wahhab was a very long time ago. And I don't want to be a part of any kind of witch hunt of any particular trend in Islam. But there is no doubt that the government of Saudi Arabia is involved in this suppression of Shiites in Yemen. After all, it's involved in the suppression of Shiites in its own country. So why would it be any different or indifferent to the suppression of Shiites in the north of and in the east of Yemen? Moreover, Saudi Arabia is a part of an alliance which is trying to put pressure on and, if necessary, destabilize and, if possible, overthrow the Islamic Republic of Iran. I think that's what people are responding to tonight. Let's take another call. Coming in thick and fast. Hello, caller. Where are you calling from?
Hello, George. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam. Where are you, sir?
I'm from Luton, so it's privileged me to speak to you. I met you in London in last 2 years ago. And obviously, the treat the Shia has been receiving is totally abhorrent. It's discriminating against the color, the orientation. It's the Saudis actually are the main element behind this. You're right, 100%.
Yeah, I not only do I believe that they are, I don't believe it's anything to do with their religious beliefs. This is the Saudis being used as a spear by the West against Iran. It's nothing to do with religion, in my opinion. I don't believe that the Saudi rulers are religious people at all. If they were religious people, they wouldn't behave in the way that they did. That's why I'm balking slightly at the Wahhabism thing. Because the Saudi regime is doing what it does against Iran, in Yemen, in Afghanistan before, as a slave of Western interests, not in the interests of Wahhabism. That's my take. What's yours? Sorry, we've lost that call. I want your emails, your SMSs, and your telephone calls. This is The Great Debate. Here's another telephone call already. Hello, caller. Yes, hello.
Hello, hello, George. I'm calling from the northeast of England.
Yes.
You know the Shia-Sunni divide. I'm wondering if the seeds lie in Iraq. You remember Saddam Hussein was in power, and apparently the then government in Iran cooperated with the West during the invasion, and the current government in Iraq is mostly Shia, and that's where this all started, and it's spreading all through the Middle East. And probably if the Americans withdraw eventually, there's going to be a big Shia-Sunni conflict in Iraq. And
well, there's certainly no need for any Shia-Sunni conflict. There is only one Quran. There is only one Islam. There are different interpretations, but nothing that should turn the guns of one against the other. To do so is merely to play the game of those who hate Islam, who want to keep the Muslims divided and weak, the better to steal their things. The Shah of Persia was no kind of Muslim, but whether he pretended to be or not didn't matter to those Western countries that installed him and maintained him. All that they cared about was that he allowed Iran to be looted by Western countries, and in return for some of the loot back again, he would exercise power on their behalf. Thanks very much for your call. We have to try and stop this Sunni-Shiite divide getting any wider. That's what I'm worried about Yemen for. Let's go to the comment wall and take another email. This one is from Arnold Steele in London. 2 points. Firstly, Yemen is funded entirely by Saudi Wahhabi clerics. They threw normal Muslims back into Yemen, started a Wahhabi propaganda machine via schools and leaflets. Secondly, had Britain not won the war, there would never have been an Israel. Well, there might never have been an Israel because there wouldn't have been any Jews to found it. But that would be of no comfort, as it would have been built upon the genocide of an entire people from the face of the earth, and one which would have been followed by other genocides. First of all the disabled people in the world would have been wiped out. Then all the Muslims would have been wiped out. All the Jehovah's Witnesses, all the Christians who were opposed to Nazism, all the communists and leftists, all the black people, all the subhumans, the Untermenschen, the subhumans, which fascist ideology saw as less than them, to the extent that they were prepared to work them to death or even gas them to death. I'm frankly disturbed by your line of thought. I wonder if you oughtn't to see a doctor. Let's take an email here on the comment wall. And this one is from Hull in the UK. Ian, I heard the British help the Saudis all the time. Is this true? Well, Britain has the closest possible relations with the dictatorship in Saudi Arabia. It's very odd that Iran can be sanctioned and threatened despite being a country with its own, admittedly, its own form of democracy, where the people actually elect their leaders. Whilst in Saudi Arabia, where there's no freedom or liberty of any kind, well, we're best of friends with them. Let's take another email on the comment wall. This one is from Nigeria, Milo. Saudi Arabia has killed Americans, Iranians, Somalis, Pakistanis, Lebanese, Afghanis and Jews. So when do we want to stand in front of this rogue state? Well, I think the best thing would be this. If Ali Abdullah Saleh took off his field marshal's uniform and sat down and talked to the Zaydi Shia Muslim people, the people who are rebelling to get their rights and against their oppression. Let's start with that. Let's start with Yemen refusing to play Saudi Arabia's game and acting as a knife in the back of Iran. It's been marvelous. I hope you enjoyed it. Bring another person with you next week. See you then. God willing.